I was looking at my little brother here with his two boys, my nephews. They were sitting. I got up and I took a picture of them because they were sitting there. Little Ben had his arm around Nate while they were singing the hymns. Cutest thing I've ever seen. It brought me back to my childhood. The only thing is, when I was in church with my daddy, I didn't get to sit by my little brother because I caused too much mischief. And so what my dad would do is he'd put me on one side and Dean on the other side. And he'd put his arms around us like a loving father. But the point was so that he'd have his fingers perfectly placed so they could just get right there on the little hair right behind my head. And like if we ever moved or acted like we were going to fall asleep or we wasn't singing or we wasn't doing right, and it only took like once or twice. And then we like lived in fear the whole, like, so we had the fear of God on us from our dad. Like, we sat in fear the whole time we were, but anyway, you let them sit beside each other. So you're doing well. All right, let's take the Bible and let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I don't normally do Thanksgiving type, like, sermons. I usually, at this point, I'm finishing up a series, a book, as we move into December. But we finished up Philippians a few months back. And so before I get to my Christmas series, I was just praying. And I really have been thinking a lot about being thankful and gratitude. Really, honestly, outside of the whole Thanksgiving thing. And so we want to look at that. The title of the message this morning is Give Thanks. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It's a very short verse. And this is what it says. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let me read it again. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's pray. Lord, we bring you an offering this morning of our attention. God, I pray that everyone in this room, even now, God, is making a covenant, I guess, with their mind and their eyes and their ears that they will listen to your word. And God, I pray today through the power of your Spirit that you will create in us grateful, thankful hearts. Lord, and it will be evident to all around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever noticed how difficult it is at times for some people to say thank you? Right? Like, it's hard work for some people to get it out. I mean, because saying thank you gives away some of your power, doesn't it? You know, it gives away some of your pride. It takes away your independence. When you say thank you to a person, it's an act of humility. And especially when you say thank you to God, it is an act of humility. Saying, you have given me something, and I am thankful. The word thanks is mentioned, or the concept regarding thanks is mentioned 102 times in the Old Testament. And 71 times in the New Testament. There's a main word in Hebrew called yada that is used the bulk of the time. And there's a word in Greek that might sound familiar to many of you called eucharisto, which is where Catholics get their word for the Eucharist. It was an essential part of the nation of Israel to give thanks. It was an important part of the New Testament church to give thanks. And it should be an essential part of the church today. In our corporate setting and also in your private personal time with God and even within your family. Psalm 100 verses 1 through 5 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. The psalmist is saying, when you come into the Lord's house, you come, you enter with thankfulness, with thanksgiving. How often does that describe your entrance into the house of God? Thanks and praise to God. Now, Paul is instructing the church in Thessalonica. So what I'm going to do this morning, I'm just going to briefly, we're going to look at verse 18, and then we're going to go and we're going to say, what are some things that we should be thankful for? So we'll just kind of try to apply the text this morning. So he says, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, many of us, when we are pressed to say what we are thankful for, and I've been around some people that are just, they're effusive with their prayer. They just comes out a lot. They're very thankful people. That's not the majority of the people that I'm around in my life. Not saying at home, I'm just saying the people that I meet, I don't see them to be as thankful as they should be. When we ask a person what they're thankful for, often they're the Sunday school answers, right? Thankful for my family. Thankful for my health, if I have it. Thankful for my friends. Thankful for my house, my possessions. And these are all very important things to be thankful for, but there's so much more. Paul goes beyond things, and he talks about being thankful in all circumstances. That it goes beyond the things that we have. And when things don't go right, are you thankful? When they don't go like you expected, when your car just won't start, are you thankful? When you get sick, your family gets sick, things break, your day gets off track, you don't get the job or the assignment, or someone was ugly to you, are you thankful even in those moments? Can you imagine the difference in the world around us if people were always thankful no matter what was happening? Just imagine the difference in this country if people lived with a grateful heart. You realize how little harm would be done? How little sin would be committed? How much sin will be covered just from grateful hearts? Now I want you to apply this singularly to your own life. That if in all circumstances in your life, and I'm saying all, I mean the word is all encompassing. I mean, the word all, it means, it's a difficult Greek word. It's so difficult. It means all. Right? It's like, it means everything, okay? In every single instance. In all circumstances, I just want you to know, I just want to make sure we're clear on that. Like if you come to me and you say, well, what about in this situation, should I be thankful? And this is going to be yes, right? In all circumstances. If in all circumstances you gave thanks, let me just say this. I'm not saying be thankful for a negative thing. I'm not saying be thankful that a bad thing happens. But I'm saying be thankful when the bad things happen. Be thankful in those circumstances. I'm not saying if someone comes and hurts you, don't be thankful that they hurt you, okay? It's like, you don't want to be like, oh, I'm glad you hurt me. But be thankful in the circumstances, all right? Like, when my car breaks down, I'm not glad that it broke down. But do you know how many times that my vehicle is broken down and I've met a person and I've been able to share the gospel with them? When I was in college, it happened all the time. Like, my truck never ran more than 2 weeks in a row. There you can be thankful. You can ponder in the moments where bad things are happening. What is God doing? He's doing something, you know that, right? God's never just a spectator in our lives. He's always sovereign. He's not this God that, as some philosophers would say, he wound the earth up like a toy and just sent it on its way. God is always involved in the workings on this earth. So you think he does nothing by accident. What difference would it make in your life if you were always thankful? Would it settle your restless heart? Would it calm your nerves? Would it refreshen your soul? Would it subdue your anger? Would it free your attitudes? Being thankful, honestly, creates life within the person. I'll never forget, Mr. David, he probably doesn't want me to share this, but the day after Mr. David Taylor's wife, Miss Karen, passed away, he was here at church. And he walked in the door. Mr. David, if you've ever been around him for 5 seconds, and you ask him how he's doing, he'll say, "Truly blessed, truly blessed." I certainly did not expect him to say that morning. But he walks in the door. I said, "Brother, how are you?" And he said, "Truly blessed." And he meant it in a different way than I think I've ever seen him mean it. This is the attitude that we're to have. Are you thankful this morning? Just go back through your morning and to yesterday. Are you thankful? Most people I meet do not. They may say they're thankful. I'm just saying they don't come across that way, okay? So most people come across as complainers, right? As grumblers, as murmurers. Nothing is good in their life. Now kids, don't go too far with this and accuse your parents of being this way, saying nothing is good enough for them. That's their job. That's the role for the parent. I mean, they are supposed to pat you on the back a lot, tell you they love you a lot, be thankful for what you do. But they're to train the child up, to push the child in the way that they should go. And it sometimes comes across as if they're not thankful for you, but they are, usually, right? But you all know those people. This is old Mississippi saying, they'd sooner climb a tree to complain than stand on the ground to say something they're thankful about, right? It shows up in their face. It shows up in their spirit. But the Word of God says to us, be thankful in all circumstances. When you're up, when you're down, and even when things are just sideways, right? To be thankful. Psalm 107 says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul writes, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So we're to be thankful in all circumstances. But also, if you notice in the text, it says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So many people spend a lot of time wondering, what is God's will in my life? They look here, they look there, they look to the stars. You may think I'm joking about this. We already know people look to the stars, but you know, some people actually look for bumper stickers. I've had people come in my office and say, I saw something on a license plate, and it confirmed to me what God's will was in my life. Yeah, did I leave my husband and go be with this other, crazy things. We always look at, maybe we heard a song. We heard a song and now we know that's what... But listen, God's will in your life is that you be thankful. If right now you gain access to heaven and you can walk before God, we always want to know what God's will is. We say, Lord, what is your will in my life? He would say, one of the main things He would say is, be thankful. In all circumstances. This is my will for you. Now I know He would say that because His Word says that. And it says it's His will for us in Christ Jesus. This is not to be overlooked because it's a reminder that all good things come to us through Christ, who is the creator and sustainer of all things. He gave up His life so that we could have good things, like our salvation. If we're in Christ, we ought to be, of all people, overflowing with thankfulness, with gratitude, because Christ makes all good things possible. Now, I want us to consider some things, some reasons. I don't like to use the word things. I think it's a lazy word. So, it just reasons that we ought to be thankful in our life. I just don't have the time to do all of them, okay? So, I think I've got like eight or so. And besides, I'm not going to mention our family, okay? Because we are so thankful for our family, right? But I don't have to tell you that you need to be thankful. Well, some of you, I should say, be thankful. Some of you are like, man, I'm actually not that thankful for my family. Thank you very much, okay? So all of these things I'm going to mention have been made available to us through the grace of Almighty God. The first reason to be thankful is life. Genesis 1 says, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. Psalm 139, it says, for you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I think every day, if you are blessed enough to wake up, as all of you were today, you have a heart that beats, you have breath in your lungs, all of your minds think at least a little bit, okay? Your nervous system reacts. These are all things given to you by our Creator. All things to be thankful for. Let us never think, even for one second, that any strength or skill or ability that we possess is there because we created it ourselves. Or we earned it. No, God has gifted it to you. Even the ways that you've improved in your life are a gift from God. God has given you life. The potter can shape the clay into any shape that it wants. The clay can't shape itself. So be thankful for life. Be thankful for the ability to work. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 13. Solomon says also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. How thankful are you that you can actually work, right? Most of us, if we're honest, we're like, we complain about our jobs, right? Like, how many of us complain about our messy houses? This house is always a mess. Has anybody ever said that? Okay, is that every house? Is anybody's house not always a mess? I want to take a toll. Okay, we've got one house that's not always a mess. Anybody else willing to be honest? I know Mr. David's house is probably always clean. That's a fact. Anybody else? Messy. Yeah. Okay, so just ladies, especially women in here, okay? Mothers. Everybody else's house is messy too, okay? I just want you to know that. It's all good, all right? Except for my house, okay? Never messy. But you know, I think like when we have a mess to clean up, I mean, I'm glad I can do it, right? Glad I got a mess that I can clean up. That's the way we ought to think. Also, another reason to be thankful is that God meets our needs. He meets our needs. Matthew 6, verse 30 says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. Think about that. It doesn't last that long. Will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Our food, our shelter, our clothing, our family, our vehicles, our electricity, all these things God is graciously taking care of for us. He also gives us extra, like finances and possessions to be thankful for. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil. This is the gift of God." All the things you've been given, all the money that you have, the house that you live in, the vehicle that you, the computer, the phones, all these things have been given to you by God above and beyond what you really need. These are things to be thankful for. And now we move on to some deeper things to be thankful for. Those are just stuff. Well, some of them are just stuff, right? That one. Some of these may seem like the same as I go down this list. But the next one I want you to see is that we're to be thankful for our salvation. Right? Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." We were once lost, but many of us in here have been saved. This is something for the redeemed that never, ever changes. Hear me this morning. You cannot, you will not lose the free gift of salvation that God has given you. You can't lose it. You can fake having it. You can have never gotten it, but you will never lose it if you get it. It's the nature of God's gift, right? We were at one point wandering around. Think about it. We were wandering around with very little idea of what was really going on in this world, right? Very little idea. Like me, I thought I was just going to heaven. Hey, if there's a heaven, I mean, I'll be going there, right? But that wasn't the case. Not until God opened my eyes to see and believe the gospel and turn from my sins and trust in Jesus Christ did I gain salvation. God saved my soul from destruction. This is an amazing, amazing thing. That if everything else goes wrong in my life, like if Job Day comes to my house, okay? You know, not Judgment Day, but Job Day. And everything goes wrong, and I get boils all over me. Man, I can't even stand one. I think I got bit by a spider right here. It's probably radioactive, okay? Right here on my neck. Like, it hurts. Like, my neck's been hurting all morning, just this one little bite. I just can't imagine how difficult it'd be. But if all of that happens, I've got Christ. We've got Christ. We are truly blessed. Keep it on moving. We also have eternal life. Now you go, "Oh, well, that's the same." Well, it is, but there's just another way to look at it. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." God gives to us eternal life. He saves us from our sins, but He also gives us a life where we will never, ever die. And listen, heaven will be glorious. I really think people get the wrong idea of heaven. They just think that there's like, what are we going to do for the next eternity? Okay, like we're going to float around on, like you look at the commercials on TV. They're floating around with hearts in the clouds, and like there's just clouds. Like, how much fun are you going to have in the clouds, right? But it's not going to be like that. The Bible never describes heaven like that. He says He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth where God will be the light. We'll dwell with God. We'll be His people. And guess what? We'll dwell with other people. And there'll be goods going in and out of New Jerusalem, right? That's the promise. Like, it's going to be exciting. I mean, there'll probably be exploration. There's all sorts of things to look forward to in eternal life. And the greatest of those things is God Himself. Just think about one of the things I think that frustrates many Christians is they sometimes get confused about God. Right? Even Christians. This doesn't make sense to me. How can this be? What's God like? In those days, your eyes will be open. I'm not saying we're going to know every single thing there is to know about God. But one of the greatest things about heaven will be getting to know God in a way that we cannot right now. You will be discovering the greatest being in all of existence for all of eternity, and his pleasures and the greatness of him will never ever end. Jesus describes eternal life like this: everyone who drinks of this water, speaking of the water at the well, they'll be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is the promise of God for those who come to him. He has also given us another thing to be thankful about, another reason, and that is the person of the Holy Spirit. God has given us himself. God has given us himself. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Like, do you ever wake up in the morning? Have you ever woke up in the morning and said, "I'm so thankful I have God's Spirit within me"? Be honest. Did you do that? Did anybody do that this week? Okay, we got one person that woke up this morning, maybe two, and said, "I'm so thankful that I have your Spirit within me." Look, I'm talking about, we've got to have a revolutionary mind change in our lives. We got to stop thinking about the things we don't have and start thinking about the things we actually do have. We literally have everything. God dwells with us. Jesus says, "When I leave, I'm going to send back a helper. I'll come back." What's he saying to Ezekiel? "I'll pour my Spirit into them." We have the Spirit of Almighty God living within us. This gift cannot be understated. It cannot be. To have God living inside of you is an amazing thing. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is referred to as a He, so God Himself lives in you. He comforts you in tough times. He convicts you when you are living in sin, which is a merciful thing to do. He teaches you. He helps you understand the Word. He leads you. He directs you. He guides you. We have the Holy Spirit. Another reason to be thankful is our justification. This is all tied to salvation and eternal life, but I like to focus on it from this standpoint for a reason. In Romans 3:23, it says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Not only have we been saved and our sins forgiven and granted eternal life, we have been justified in the eyes of God. It's not that we'll get to heaven and we'll be seen as sinners. Did you know that? To be justified is to be made right in the eyes of God. When you stand before God, He will see you if you have trusted in His Son. In His Son alone. For salvation. He will see you in the same light that He sees His Son Jesus Christ, who was sinless, perfect, spotless, righteous in all of His ways. He loved righteousness more than wickedness. The scepter of His kingdom is righteousness. If you have trusted in Christ, that will be your status in heaven. Not that guy that used to sin. You will be considered justified in the eyes of God. You cannot buy it. You can't work for it. You can't get someone to go get it for you. It's a gift from God. Now, how do we acquire these last four, the salvation and eternal life and the Holy Spirit and our justification? And I could keep going on there, but I think those give us the point there. How do we get them? We get them through faith. Faith, which is also a gift from God. Everything that we have is a gift from Him, granted to us through His given word. Because God sought us out. He left the 99 to come find the one. He seeks us. He gives us our word. He helps us to have faith. A man tried to buy it once. Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money." We can't do it. But God is gracious to us to give us faith. And our response to God every day, I believe every day, should be, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, "Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift." Now, I could go on and on about things that we need to be and should be thankful for. But what I'm hoping is I'm giving you a few things to maybe put you in a default setting every morning when you wake up so that you can, in all circumstances, give thanks. Like, I can imagine some circumstances where you would just think, "I can't give thanks." But Job said, "Will we not take the good and also the bad from God?" So I want to just kind of move and transition to how do we respond? How do you respond with gratitude? It's one thing to say, "Hey, y'all be thankful," right? But how about we say, "How can we be thankful? What can we do? Because being thankful, it's not just an attitude. It's a mindset. It is an attitude, but it's also a way of life, right? It's an active thing that we can do. It's not a passive thing that happens to us. It's something we do. We are thankful. And so here are some things we do. The first is, and I say this in the light of, if a person does something nice for you, right? Let's say they showed up and they mowed your yard for you. Or whatever. Like you say, "You know what, that's so appreciated. I'm going to give them a gift card," right? I'm going to give them a gift basket. Gift basket, that shows you're thankful, right? You give them some fruits and some popcorn in there, you know, some like caramel popcorn or, you know, some candy or something like that. Shows that you're very thankful. But how do you show God and the people around you that you're thankful? Did you know that worship, when we come to the house of God to worship, our attention, all right, our worship is directed toward who? You know? God, right? But did you know it's also for the benefit of those to your right and to your left? Your worship is to be seen by those around you. Your worship is also seen by the enemy. Your worship is a display of your thankfulness to God. This is why I know so many people are not thankful. Because when they come to worship, they go, "Blah, blah, blah, blah. Standing on the promises." I mean, like, there's a lot of mumbling that happens on Sunday morning throughout the South, okay? I'm just going to tell you. A whole lot of mumbling. So, what is a way for us to show our gratitude? Number one, overflow with praise. Overflow with praise. Often in the Bible, thanks is translated as praise, or praise is translated as thanks. They're used interchangeably, synonymously. I'm going to share a verse. Psalm 28, verse 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts, and I am helped." Notice this. "My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to Him." So what is the avenue of thanksgiving for the psalmist? The avenue whereby he shows how thankful he is by the song he sings. Now some of us go around singing all the time, right? But some of you don't. Like you just may not know a lot of songs, worship songs to be singing throughout the day, but the psalmist says the way he gives thanks is through singing. Noticing God is his helper. This causes the man's heart to exult, which means to overflow with praise and adoration of God from within. And then he gives thanks with his song. Another way that we can show thanks to God is by obeying the command to give. Often we show our gratitude toward others that have done a good thing for us by buying them a gift, a token of our gratitude. Now, God owns all things. So we can't give Him something that He doesn't already have, but we are to show our thanks by devoting ourselves to giving according to the grace that has been given to us. I heard it said once, a man is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose. So we should be obedient to give. We also should show our thanks by devoting ourselves to studying His Word. This is very pleasing to God, to study His Word. If you read Psalm 119, it's like 140, 50 something verses. It speaks of how great the Word of God is, that we're blessed if we walk in it, that they should be our delight, that we can trust it, that we can hope in it, that we're to meditate on it. It keeps us from sinning against God, that it's forever. It gives life. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It's wisdom. It's knowledge. On and on. It's perfect. It's all these things. And if we're to show that we are thankful to God for His Word, we should probably just use it, right? Don't be like the person who gets the gift. How many of you know this person? You give them a gift on Christmas and, I've been wanting one of these for so long. You show up next year and it's still in the box. Right? Has anybody ever happened to anybody? I mean, it's happened to me. Like, you just, okay. I mean, I missed the mark on that gift right there. It just, apparently it wasn't. You know, say you write a nice love letter to your wife or your husband or a poem or whatever it is. And they read it once, they just set it down. They never come back to it. I mean, it didn't really mean a whole lot to them, did it? It doesn't mean a whole lot to you if you don't read God's Word. You can say, man, I love God's Word. I love the Bible. But if you don't read it, you're not thankful for it, okay? If you don't read it and you don't meditate on it, you're just not thankful for it. To show your thanks to God, read Him. Understand Him. Moving on. Also, another way to respond is by being devoted to prayer. Thankful men pray often. Men that are thankful, this is a litmus test in your life. I'm not just saying like your prayers at supper time, okay? Men that are thankful for what God has done in their life, that have an attitude of gratitude. There we go. We rhyme it up in here. We have an attitude of gratitude. Men and women that have that type of attitude, they pray often. Because that's how they tell God they're thankful. They tell Him. It says a lot about yourself. We're to confess our sin. We're to pray for others. And we're to pray in humility. This is a way to show we're thankful. Also, we should devote ourselves to evangelism and disciple making. If we are wanting to show that we're thankful to God, let us respond. He gave us life. He helped us be discipled. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. That's the point of Him coming. This is the call for all believers. It's not just for a select few. The whole idea of the gospel is to give it to other people, not to hoard it for yourself. Don't be like the lepers, right? Well, be like them, but not initially. They were out there, you know, taking all the goods in. You can go read about this in 2 Kings. And they said, hey, look, this today is a day of good news, but we're silent. Don't be silent. Let your light shine. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Teach and preach the Word of God to other people. Show God you're thankful for what you've been given by giving it to somebody else. Also, another way to show you are thankful is to devote yourself to service. This was Jesus' example. He served the disciples, and He told them if they want to be great, that they are to serve also. Devote yourself to love. It sums up the commandments and the gospel. Christ loved us, and we are to love one another the same way that Christ loved us. If we're thankful to God, we will love other people. And then finally, to show your gratitude to God, obey His commandments. Read the Bible. It's filled with imperatives, commands for us to follow. One of those is be thankful. I want you to know this morning, Paul was not offering up a suggestion to the church at Thessalonica. He says, be thankful in all circumstances. He doesn't say, hey, maybe you guys could be a little bit more thankful, or it would be a good thing to be thankful. He's telling you as a Christian, this is your imperative. Listen, this is a command. Just like love, just like have no other gods before Him. It's a command. Be thankful. And so what I'm going to ask you to do today is in a response to this. If you're a Christian this morning, I'm going to ask you to start right now, and maybe through the course of this week, evaluate yourself and just how thankful are you? Just like write down, like stop. Like you can write, that's great. Look, you all have phones, you can put it in your notes. What are the things that I'm thankful about? If your list is short, think a little longer, right? Keep thinking. I mean, you could think of hundreds of things. And then when you see them, meditate on, think about those things. And like, replace whatever type, maybe you have a grumbling attitude, replace that with an attitude of thanksgiving. If you have never been saved, if you have never come to Christ, like you never said, look, I believe in the death, I believe in the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe He's God. I believe He'll save me from my sins. I'm going to turn from Him. I'm going to trust Him. If you've never done that this morning, you think, I'm not that far from God, though. I'm here. I'm in church. I'm going to tell you, you're not far from God, but you will be. If you don't come to Christ, at some point, you will be very, very far from God. And you got opportunity to do that today, to give your life to Christ and to have something truly great to be thankful for. Mr. Teddy's going to come and lead us in a hymn of response. And use that word, not just invitation, but of response. So if you are a Christian this morning, respond to God's word in your life by praying. Maybe there's some things right now that you need to say, God, I'm so thankful for. Or maybe you've got some things you say, Lord, I'm so sorry that I've not had the proper attitude in my life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We are, I don't know that I'm as thankful as I should be, Lord. We take so much for granted here. We just expect certain things, Lord. But God, we know that they are gifts from You. Not things that we deserved, but because You are just so kind, You give us so much. Help us, Lord, to have grateful hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing 465, Only Trust Him.
Every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. That washes white as snow. Only trust. trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now.
Derek is going to come and dismiss us in prayer. And while he's coming, I'm going to say a few things I'm thankful about. I'm thankful that you guys let me be your pastor. And that you, some of y'all put up with me, all right? All right, and some of y'all I put up with. I'm thankful that my wife decided that she would be all right to, I'd be all right to marry. I'm not in trouble. Let me tell you, I'm also thankful for Slim and for Tony Martin, who came up here and fixed these two holes back here. Well, they ain't holes anymore, but big wet spots. They were holes because we dug up a lot of holes. They don't want me to say this because they like to do things, you know, incognito. But they came up here on Thursday and dug those pipes up, and we found the water leak, and they fixed them and then filled them in. So I'm super thankful about that. So in the back, you'll actually get to park without being in a mud hole before long. We have the special offering right after the service. Mr. Johnny's going to take care of that. If you want to give toward the pastor that we're going to be sponsoring in India, you go ahead and do that. I'm thankful that God has kept so many people of our people safe. And I'm also thankful for our guests that have been coming so regularly. We're super thankful for you guys. Dismiss us, Darren.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for today. We ask you just to be with us as we go out from here. Always help us to be thankful and to share your love. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.